Start recording. All right. Now, if I did everything properly, we should have this little splash screen for a minute. And all right, I'm going to unmute now. All right, been unmuted. Now going to the overlay. As people watching at home can see, if they watch this later, I'm testing some OBS overlay stuff. Looks like I did not properly.
I'm wearing the same shirt.
All right, no.
Wait. On the standby screen. I'm also watching the live YouTube.
Oh, I thought you meant the same shirt as I am, and I'm like, no, you're not. the cropping of the background or the overlay that I'm doing in OBS, for some reason, it didn't... I don't know, something about the dimensions didn't work right, so I'll have to redo that. But you should now, even with the delay, see the overlay on the live chat. So you'll get an idea of where I'm going with that. I don't know if you can hear it, but I hear like a delay, like I'm monitoring my own audio, and I'm not sure why. Okay, so I had monitoring. All right, so this, I'm looking at a setting in OBS, and it looks like it's monitoring. So maybe I didn't have us muted for those first couple seconds. I guess we'll find out when I check the audio later. Say something.
Pumpernickel.
Okay, so I can still hear you. Okay, so yeah, that was monitoring. I guess in the future I could also try muting just by turning the volume all the way down to zero. Anyway, we're sitting around bullshitting. This is supposed to be Horror Mixes Happy Live Chat number 20. Welcome to anybody.
One more and it can drink.
Yes. Well, it can drink internationally at some locations.
In some locations in the States, too, I think.
No, not that I'm aware of.
You could drink at 18 in some places in the States, but yeah, I may be wrong. I don't know.
It used to be the case that they had different drinking laws in different areas, and then they standardized it. They also had it for a while where you could drink, I think, if you were 18 and in the military? Or maybe that's just that the cops let you do that because they had a draft going on, and they're like, fuck it, if you're going to go to war, you can drink.
I think it was more likely that this was the 70s and cops just didn't care.
That is also possible, considering that people would drive around with open containers in their vehicles daily. Constantly everywhere all the time. That's a different kind of horror. I am fresh back from StokerCon 2026. Literally got home like an hour and a half ago. I am exhausted. I unpacked the car, but I have not unpacked any of my luggage or my backpack or anything like that. I'm probably going to sleep fairly well tonight. It was a busy week. I went out there Thursday, I think. I left here around 11 o'clock, got there around 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I think I missed the first panel that I was planning on attending by about half an hour. It was an author reading. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Actually, no, I'm looking at the author readings on this. I printed out a schedule, and now that I'm reading it, it had Edward J. Flora, who was one of our former guests, and I did make that, so I didn't miss it. I take that back.
It's good. And that was an author reading? So, like, he just read one of his stories? Or
Like a chapter from one of his stories. Normally what they do, for those who have not gone, like Chris has not gone, they have these author reading events where they'll pair up usually three authors, and each one will read like a chapter from their book, and then there'll be like a question and answer period and conversation. I was going to share my desktop with you later maybe and give you an idea of the visual of it, but there's a website called SCHED, I think it's SCH.com, that they use to make their schedule available to conference attendees so that you can plan out your day. But basically for StokerCon, They host like 7 or 8 different panels at a time from 8 a.m. to like 5 p.m. all day. Mm-hmm. So it's like being in high school, like first period, everybody, and then everybody's in the hallway in between, and then second period, and then everybody's in the hallway. And it's actually pretty fun. And the other thing that I like about it too is they're pretty smart about how they do the author signings. They do, so it's like that on Friday from 8 to 5, and then at 6 or 6:30 they do what's called a mass author signing, where they set up tables in this one area. And they just have like 50 or 60 authors all set up, and everybody goes through and buys their books and gets the autographs and whatnot in one batch. And this way it's not overlapping with panels. They do also have a vendor room where you can maybe meet people outside of those hours, which I did have to do because I've talked about it on the podcast every now and then. I have shared more about this on our Discord server on a regular basis that my sleep cycle has been broken from working third shift years ago. And as luck would have it, this week my body decided it wanted to get on this pattern where it wanted to sleep from like 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I tried to break myself of that earlier this week before going to StokerCon, and I was not successful. So I ended up missing the event, the mass signing event. I made it till about 5 o'clock, and then I was just like, I have to go crash. So I crashed and slept until 2 or 1 o'clock or something like that. And then that was fun. Saturday I had a similar situation, except I forced myself to set an alarm to wake up at 10 o'clock so I can go join some of the, you know, after hours activities down at the bar for a little while. And hopefully that maybe has kicked me onto a new sleep cycle, because then after that I went back to the room and then I slept until like 5 or 6 a.m. So we'll see. Anyway, yeah, there was so much stuff because I got there on Thursday. Actually, it goes from Wednesday to Sunday. I was there Thursday to Sunday, which is still 4 days worth of events. Sunday's like a half day because they close down it. They do the closing ceremony, I think, at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've got literally 3 pages worth of events on my schedule and more than a page or two of notes to go through and ideas to unpack and people to follow up with and all kinds of fun stuff. And
like any connections?
Looks like a fair bit. We'll see how that all plays out. Also brought home like 20 books for the DVD/book giveaway. Yeah. So once I get all that unpacked, I'll take some pictures of that, and next time I do a post about the monthly giveaway, there'll be 20 new books to put on that pile.
Any highlights that you could think of from the 20?
Too many to mention. So the first StokerCon I attended, I did not buy any books from anybody because I just didn't know how I wanted to handle that. And I also didn't know how I was, like, I didn't want to play favorites, you know what I mean? So I didn't know how am I going to say yes to some people and no to other people. And I still needed to figure that out. So anyway, this time around, what I decided to do was I was going to give myself a budget of $100. I was going to buy $100 worth of books from former guests who have been on our podcast. And once I hit that $100, that I'm cut off. And my plan is that from this point forward, going to other events, actually I take that back, because I actually started doing this at AuthorCon last year. That's where it started. But moving forward, my plan is to buy one book from every guest that we have had on the podcast before potentially cycling back to buy a second book from, because there were a couple of people where I'd, well, yeah, let me get a book. Oh, do you want something else? Can I get you more? It's like, pause. And then I explained to them what I was trying to do. I was like, one book per guest for now, and then, you know, cycle back around. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, but yeah, there were like 25 guests of ours that have been on the podcast that were there this weekend. So
yeah, I know NJ Gallegos was there, mm-hmm. Danger Slater, mm-hmm. Rami Unger. What else? We just spoke with someone who said they were going to be there. I mean, Paula Ashe was there, right?
No, she actually did not make it this year.
Aww.
But on that topic,
it's a poster. Okay. Did you get 25 signatures?
No. There were a number of people I was not able to connect with.
Yeah. I mean, that's like not a loaded question or anything. I full well expected that, you know, if there are a total of 25 of our former guests there, like something may have come up with one of them, may not be able to run one of them. But that's a good number of signatures.
15.
Got 15. Nice.
So, yeah, good start. But as I was explaining to those who did sign that, bring the mic so I'm talking into the mic. You know, when we did this initially for the 5th anniversary with the t-shirt, oh yeah, by the way, for those who are listening to this on the podcast, I just unraveled. Well, I'll mention it in a second. So when we were doing the, about our second year in, 2.5 years in, we came up with the idea that we could have all of our guests or as many of our guests as possible sign a t-shirt with our logo on it and then donate that to Scares the Care to auction off for the charity. But very quickly, we realized that autographing a t-shirt is not always that easy because the material wants to move and it's fussy.
You just got to hold it down and spread it out. It's, I mean...
Phrasing. Welcome to the chat. Right as soon as you said that, somebody drops a hello in chat. Great timing. what was I going to say? So very quickly we realized that if we're going to do the same thing for our 10th anniversary, we'd rather do it on a poster, which is what we're doing this time. But the nice thing is that being that we are now in our 6th season and planning on donating this for our 10th season, it means that we have 4 years to gather autographs instead of the 2 years that we had for the t-shirt. So hopefully this will be an even cooler item to hand off to Scares the Care for their charity. So, as I was saying a second ago, for those listening to the audio on this, on the podcast later, what I was holding up was the poster with the 15 signatures that I have gotten so far.
Yeah.
What else? I'm going to go through the schedule here to see anything jumps out at me that was interesting.
You mentioned you went to the bar after hours at one point. Were there any fun shenanigans at the bar?
None that I will repeat here.
Ah, okay. Okay.
That is how you get not invited to things in the future, dumbass.
Sometimes forget we're live on YouTube now.
Yes. Well. Let's see. Pitch session panel was very interesting, and also the panel after that working with Big Five Publishers. I wanted to attend those because, as you know, some of you know, I've been working on the book, summarizing the trends that we've been seeing on this podcast for the last 5 years. And at some point, I would like to have that manuscript finished and then potentially see if we can get that published. So picked up some interesting notes there that I have to collate later. Publishing and promoting on a shoestring budget. Obviously, there are reasons to attend that one. That was where I met somebody who we might work with in the future. More to come on that. Cool. And also another thing that was interesting that came out of that. Towards the end, I made a comment about how it would be a great idea to sort of crowdfund of a resource, a vendor list, for vendors that we can purchase from that work with like reasonable pricing. And the example that I gave is, you know, we would like to do things for Kickstarter or for Patreon supporters, like rewards, but the problem is that, you know, if you can't, it's very difficult to find a vendor with decent pricing and quality. Like, for example, Redbubble, you know, we have to sell a t-shirt at like $25, basically $22 to break even, and then you're looking at like $4 or $5 for shipping and handling on top of that, and that's just to break even. So you're already looking at almost $30, maybe $35 for like a sweatshirt or a better t-shirt. And then, but the whole point is that if you're trying to raise money to do something, that you have to add another 5 or 10 on top of that. And now you're looking at like $35, $40, $45 for a t-shirt. It's a hard sell, at least to me. And I said, you know, it'd be great if we could crowdsource a vendor list of not just t-shirts, but stickers and all kinds of different things to say, you know, put together a list of what everybody has found as good vendors to work with. And somebody else in the audience was like, everybody would love you if, you know, we could put that together. And so I was like, all right. So I guess I volunteered myself to do that. So when I got back to the room that night, I created a Google document and I've shared that on all of our social media. So, and I made it public so that anybody can edit. So if you want to add to that list or see what's been put on the list, check our social media. I don't know if I can pin 2 posts on Blue Sky. If I can, I've already got 1 thing pinned on Blue Sky. If I can add a 2nd pin, I'll do so. I should probably find some other place to put that so that people can find it after the social media posts timeout. Maybe I'll link to it in our Linktree link, because then if you find this a year later and you want to go find it, then you can go to Hormix Happy, and then we have our Linktree link right there on the front page, and then go from there to find it. So maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, Linktree is probably the best idea. It's more permanent.
What else? I did attend HWA Open Member Board Meeting. We're not members, but I wanted to. It was open to the public, and I wanted to check it out just to get a feel for the organization. I have been thinking about joining as an official member at some point, so more to come on that. Attended podcasting panel. Talked to a couple different podcasters there, so we may have some future guests that we might bring on and maybe do like a swap with them.
Yeah, I'm down for a swap.
Mm-hmm. One of them actually you already did. I was talking to her co-host who's
his name, I liked him,
drawing a blank on the name too. Cool. I want to say the last name was like Darkness or something like that, but it's not exactly. I had some really good conversation with him after the award ceremony as well. Told him about the trivia questions we'd been gathering, and he may join the Discord server just to join us for the trivia stuff. And as a reminder to those of you who might catch this later, we've got 5,600 trivia questions that have gathered, and we're going through and kind of quality checking them. So if you want to join a trivia night, join the Discord server, and the link for that is again also on the Hormix is Happy webpage.
It's not enough questions. You need more questions.
You're right.
6,600 or 6,666 right. Questions.
I knew that was coming.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, I've already done 5,600. You can do the other 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, that's not happening.
Nah.
What else? I did also attend, I think you and I briefly talked about this. Rami was putting on a, like a vendor 101 class, talking about vending at conventions, which I did attend and did pick up some interesting ideas and thoughts. So got some notes to follow up on that. I briefly mentioned the Discord server. You had talked about the possibility of us getting a table next year for StokerCon.
And I agree with your assessment. Like, that would be good for business, but we wouldn't be able to see any of the show. Like, to run a booth properly and it to be effective at all, you have to be at the booth the whole time.
Yes and no. We could do something where we trade off, where like you're there and then I take off, or vice versa. Off. And then if we both want to leave, then you'd flip the tablecloth up, and people usually respect that. But knowing how much I have enjoyed attending on all the panels and talking to all the people there, I wouldn't want to. Well, I mean, so here's the thing. It's not like I wouldn't get to also talk to people if I sat at a table in the vendor room, but the number of panels that I would then be able to attend would be cut. And
right, because it's not like a repeat every day. There are different panels each day.
Exactly.
So if one of us is at the booth manning the booth that day, that one's going to miss whatever that day. So we would have to work that around. You know what? Maybe after my first time going there, maybe a second time, we can do a booth
maybe
that year. But I do want to experience it next year. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no booth.
The other thing that we could talk about is, so there were a number of panels that I had wanted to attend. And like, if you and I were to sit down and compare schedules and we both discover that there are panels that both of us wanted to attend, we could probably say, okay, well, you attend that one and I'll check, I'll work the table, and then you just tell me about the panel later or take notes for me, kind of thing. So maybe we could work something out like that. But I mentioned earlier that at StokerCon, they do 7 or 8 different panels simultaneously all day. And when I said that I had printed out this schedule across all 3 days, there was only maybe 1 or 2 slots where I didn't have something that I wanted to go do. So, like, they have a lot of really good content. So
this is the gift, yet also the bane of conventions.
Yes.
Like, is there a StokerCon app that you can use to maybe keep track of the schedule of things?
No, so that's the schedule, or Sched, SCHED .com.
Yeah, Shed.
Yeah. And actually, it's kind of interesting. It will email you your schedule in the every morning, so that all you have to do is open up the email, and then if you want to see what the information is on the event, you click on that, and it'll take you to the page. It gives you more information about the event.
Not bad.
It's not the only thing that I don't really like about it is that it's at least I have not yet found a way to easily see what's going on in other panels at that same hour block through that portion of the web app. On the phone, I mean, if I sit down at a PC, it does make that available to me, and I didn't find a way to do it on the phone. But that's been valuable to see what's going on in the other panels, because as I mentioned, I was playing catch up because I missed the Mass Author signing. And so there were people that I wanted to get books from and get autographs from, both on the books and the poster. And so there were a couple times where I had like, okay, I'm going to meet you here at 3 o'clock before your panel, and then I'm just going to get the autograph, and then I'm going to run over to this other panel and attend this panel at 3 o'clock. And
yep. Every year at Spooky, it's the same thing. Like, every year at Spooky, when I've gone to Dragon Con, like, it's always a struggle to do all the things. And you cannot, especially with Dragon Con. It's impossible. It's fucking huge, and 5 days and multiple hotels. What I like that DragonCon does, which is why I asked about the app, is they have a schedule app, and just the DragonCon app has all the things in it, but you primarily use it for the schedule, and it also has tracks, which are like different interests. So if you're, say, a Star Trek fan, it shows you all the panels and events and
on the schedule website, they're color-coded.
Okay. And you can access the website over mobile, so that works.
Yeah. So that was my week. What have you been up to this week?
I've been working horror-related stuff. I've been enjoying The Terror. It's the latest season. It's almost over. There's only one episode left.
Okay.
The last one was a doozy. Man, Judith Light, the woman who played Angela in Who's the Boss.
Oh, yeah,
we talked about this. She was in the menu. I didn't even fucking recognize her. But she can act. Her in the show.
I mean, you didn't get
that.
I'm
just saying, my only experience with her so far was like Angela from Who's the Boss, so I never really knew. But yeah, no, she's got some really powerful scenes in The Terror.
Yeah, you sent me that picture, and I'm just like, holy fuck, do I feel old now?
Yeah. Damn you, time!
Yes.
Go away! Get off my lawn.
So what else have you been watching? We talked about something else you watched earlier today, and I don't remember what it was. Iron Lung. You said you watched Iron Lung.
I did finally get around to watching Iron Lung. It's really good. It's really good for YouTuber. No, it itself is a great film. It is an isolated film. It's like a single location. This guy is in a ship that I guess is, and you really refer to it as the Iron Lung, but that's a ship that you like. It's far future. Humanity is dwindled, and we're looking for a new home because Earth is cached, I guess. And one of the few.
Continue.
One of the prospects for a livable planet. Jesus, this is like the nightmare of planetary options from Interstellar, but on steroids. Because apparently, one of the only livable planets that we can find is an oceanous planet that is just an ocean of blood. It is. It's blood, for lack of a better. I found myself wondering, like, all right, well, is it human blood? Did you test it?
Right. Like, yeah. Like.
What type? Is it O positive? Is it type O negative?
But I mean, why would it be human blood?
I don't know. Maybe like the viscera that runs through our veins is a naturally occurring thing in other elements.
But why would it? Why would it be? Why would you have hemoglobin on?
Because that's where we come from, actually. Yes. That's the ocean. It's like it's what some refer to it as the LCLC, and you have to break into terminal dogma and steal Adam from God. And then, you know, Sele comes out and they release the faceless angels, like the all white ones
what,
with the grin
what
faces.
Percentage of what you just said is pure bullshit?
No, all of it.
Okay, because I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. It could have been.
Yeah. None of that is related to Iron Lung.
Okay.
The amount of blood, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. They didn't necessarily say it was human blood, but they said at one point the bottom of this ocean is just
clot.
Coagulant. it's not really like he hit the bottom. They're like, all right, just
squish.
Be careful. It's not really solid down there. It's mostly just coagulated, half solid. It's like, creepy, but Mark Flyer did a good job. He's a good actor. It's It was good.
He also appears in the movie?
Way more Eldritchian than I was expecting near the end. Like, you don't see a lot of shots of outside of the ship because it's blood. You can't exactly see through blood.
Right.
And his mission down there is just to document, so he keeps having to take pictures with this X-ray camera.
So it's like Subnautica and blood.
Pretty much, yeah, because it's based off a video game. So it's Subnautica, but what if the water was blood?
Okay.
Creepy stuff.
Yes.
Good shit. I dug it. Yeah, other than that, just watching The Terror and
Brain fart.
Yeah. Working on my webcomic a little bit, not very much at all.
3D printing.
3D printing a lot of things. Yeah. 3D printer go Bert. I've definitely not been building a giant warlord titan with giant tits.
I was just about to say this is going to turn into a Warhammer 40K podcast.
Right. If you want to talk about Warhammer 40K, we can talk about Warhammer 40K. See? All right, so a long time ago, there was this guy named the Emperor, and he was... By a long time ago, I mean Mesopotamia, if you know, look at sort of deep enough into it. He's around for a long time.
Yeah.
Chungus knows what I'm talking about.
I was going to make a joke about not showing the model that you're printing on screen, getting us demonetized, but I suppose dropping words like that might have already ruled that out.
What, tits?
Yes.
You can't say tits?
I don't know.
What about boobs? Melons?
I have no idea. Who knows what the algorithm will take issue with? Oh, that's a good segue. So, one of the things I mentioned... No, seriously. If not the last live chat we did, the one before, there was... It was kind of funny. There was something I was like, man, there's something I wanted to mention on the podcast or on the live chat, and I can't remember what the hell it was. And then I was like, it'll occur to me later, and I'll think about it later. I did remember later, and so we've mentioned on here about doing our DVD and book giveaway. We've got a stack. Well, we had a stack of like 15 books and 15 DVDs we're giving away. Now it's going to be what, like 35 books and still get about 15 DVDs to give away. Yeah. Well, so, but the whole point about the DVD and book giveaway is the real reason that we're pushing for that is, you know, as a horror podcast, horror as a genre in particular is notorious on the social media sites for having your account flagged for stupid crap. And then, you know, God forbid something should happen, you know, your account can basically be deleted overnight with no recourse. And so if we don't have a mailing list to get in touch with our listeners and our fans, then we're basically SOL, you know, like, so the main reason that we are asking people to sign up for the mailing list is, like I say, and, you know, if all goes well, we'll never have that problem. But, you know, I'd rather be in a position where we've got that access to be able to get back in touch with people than not, you know. So it's just a safety mechanism, which I think horror fans should appreciate, given the propensity for, you know, viewing horror as preparation for bad things to happen. Yes. We have also, on the mailing list portion of that, we initially were thinking about doing it once every 30 days, but I decided to cut that back to every 60 days. So, I mean, we are doing the giveaways every 30 days, but I'm just not sending out the mailing list every 30 days. I'm doing the mailing list every 2 months because that's, you know, it's 6 times a year. It's not that big a deal. But it also makes it easier for me because, you know, let's work on my part. Anywho, let me look at our agenda, see if there's anything else that we want to chat about.
Maybe coming up on the show.
Most recent release was our interview with Mr. Chris Nash, who, pull it up. Actually, I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. I know he worked on Psycho Gorman, In a Violent Nature, The Void, ABC's of Death 2. Refresh my memory. I think he was a writer, not a special effects, correct?
Yes.
all right, give me a second to open up the
I think special document. Effects. My guess is special effects. That's what that means.
I thought he was a writer. Give me a second. I'll open up the... This is, you know, this is the funny thing about the kinds of interviews we do. We ask people what they're a fan of, not about their body of work. And so, like, we not even 100% sir. Like, sir, what are you doing again? Okay, he did both. That's so we were both right. He special effects and writer and director.
That's right. Yeah, he wrote In a Violent Nature, did he not?
I think so. Yep. But he's also done special effects on other stuff. So yes. I would have to refer to his IMDb for clarity. Both. Yes. Sir, we're both right.
Mm-hmm. That means we have a tie. So I'm sorry, it's going to have to be battle to the death to decide winner.
Choose your weapons. Dibs on the play. I like how we both went to sort of. I was debating on whether or not to go for like rock, paper, scissors. Choose your weapons.
No, yeah, and I was totally thinking like, you know, Roman Colosseum style, like weapons on the wall.
Right.
Flail was the first thing that popped into my head. Well, that's actually a terrible weapon.
It depends on, I guess, so I actually watched a YouTube video about this not too long ago. It was all dependent on, it was kind of like rock, paper, scissors. It was what you were squared up against.
Okay. Yeah, true. I guess there are other weapons that a flail would be better at. I wouldn't imagine it's good for defending because it's ropes on a stick.
If I remember correctly, the one that was like, that beat flail was trident. Because it's got the range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
also you can get the flail tangled in the forks and then just swip it around.
Potentially. Stab it. And then the other one, there was a guy with a net, but I can't. So everybody had two, like, there's two hands. So you, I think it was trident and shield. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was, net and maybe gladius.
Gladius. Okay.
And I can't remember what the, maybe flail and shield. Maybe it was flail and shield. And maybe
well, at least you get a gladius with a net, because like when you said net, I was just thinking that's like that's that unfortunate scenario where you're, like you're thrown into combat and you're given random weapons. You're like, I got a net,
right?
The hell?
Well, they were like, they were sailors. It was not that they were sailors, but there was a lot more boating activity in those days.
Doesn't change the fact that a net is a ship.
It wasn't a weapon. It was a defensive, not weapon's not the right word. Defensive, I don't know.
Device?
I guess. You know, like with
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I got you. But that's like a shield with holes in it. How is it net defensive?
Because you
like,
can wrap things up with
things
it.
Swap things away with it?
You wrap things up with it. Yeah. And if it's a large enough net, you can wrap a person up in it.
Yeah.
If they're not good at moving quickly.
Yeah.
Anywho. What else is on the agenda? We often talk about what you're doing for the Friday night wild card. I think you took an off week this week.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
Went to why not drink it? Mm. It was fun.
Okay.
But next week we are back on. We are still watching Ash vs. Evil Dead. I believe we're in the second season, 2 episodes.
Okay.
It's a good show. It's fun. It is a Sam Raimi production. People vomit blood into people's faces a lot. Ooh, I think this is the season with Ashy Slashy, the little puppet.
For some reason, I thought we already saw that episode. Mm-mm. Maybe it's a different
one. We've seen an episode where people refer to him as Ashy Slashy. That was like his childhood bullying nickname. Like
maybe.
They called him Ashy Slashy, and not even childhood. They called him that because he killed his girlfriend. He was like...
Well, so I guess she was a deadite, but they didn't know that, so they, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So they, like, you know, called him a murderer, and that's, yeah, it's his hometown when he went there, but called him Ashy Slashy.
Right.
But later on, there is, like, a Sesame Street-style puppet that's, like, a little Ash with a chainsaw hand, and his name is Ashy Slashy. And, of course, he is, possessed.
Speaking of Muppets, so I mentioned earlier before we hopped on the call that I did not get an opportunity to attend this year's award ceremony. They have like banquet tables set up for all the people attending the
patrons.
No. Nominees, that's the word I'm looking for. Nominees who are up for an award and their spouses and you know, plus one kind of thing. But then behind that, they also set up about 150 chairs for the riffraff to come in and attend the ceremony as well. But there were so many people there this year that all the seats got taken and then it was standing room only. And unfortunately, my feet are kind of messed up, and they hurt a lot, especially after running around for 3.5 days. So I was not doing standing room only for 3 hours. So I went outside and found a place to sit down, and ended up BSing with some other people, including one of the people that's on that podcast panel, and got to talking. And one of the games that we played for a little while, which you've probably heard before, is think of a horror movie and replace every character except one with Muppets.
Yeah.
So, entertained ourselves with that for a little while.
Mm. There's so many to choose from, you know? I mean, there's like Hellraiser and Kirstie is the only human. Texas Chainsaw and Leather is the only human.
Although the funny thing about that one, that we didn't bring that up last night, but now that you're mentioning it, the funny thing about that one is that all the other victims, mm-hmm. instead of having them be like random different Muppets, it could just be Gonzo and all his chickens.
yeah. Like all the victims are just the chickens?
Yes. Or well, and Gonzo and because Gonzo's got to drive the car, and well, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway,
I thought we were saying Gonzo was Leather, but no, that's right. It was Leather is the only real person.
Correct. Yeah. The one I came up with was Red Dragon.
Okay.
and the one that and stays.
Phil Seymour Hoffman's character is the only real person.
Ray Liotta. Don't want
to see him on fire in a wheelchair.
Ray Liotta.
Okay.
And Hannibal is played by the Swedish Chef.
I mean, who else would he be?
Exactly.
There's no other Muppet that's really a delicatessen, if you
will. Worded loosely, yes, sure. But also just the amusement of trying to imagine the Swedish Chef take off the top of Ray Liotta's head.
I don't know, man. I dig it. It's hilarious, but you can't do Hannibal like that. Hannibal is a foodie and an intellectual. He's not.
That's why it's funny.
Yeah.
Also, the idea of Muppets eating like you know literal brains, real brains.
Yes.
What else did we do? We did Aliens.
Somebody called Peter Jackson.
Yes. We did Aliens, and it was Newt stayed the same.
Okay.
So yeah. Muppet cast with a kid. We did have... So the trouble with that one was, you know, who should play Ripley. Because personally, I thought that Vasquez should be Piggy. And so this, the debate is, should you have Piggy be Vasquez or Sigourney Weaver? Ripley.
Sigourney Weaver. Yeah, no, she'd be Ripley. Because, I mean, Vasquez is awesome, but kind of a side character. You know, it's Ripley's the main star, so that'd be Piggy. Who would be Vasquez if not Piggy then?
Because the only other female character I could think of, or we could think of, was Janice, but that she doesn't really work for either one of them.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a female who's a badass. Animal.
I mean, now that you mention it, so instead of having it be Ripley in the power suit, was that the first one or the second one?
Second.
Okay. Instead of Ripley in the power suit, have it be Gossamer. Or no, not Gossamer. Gossamer was Bugs Bunny, but there's a character very much like Gossamer whose name is escaping me. Do you know who I'm talking about? The big, huge, brown guy that just...
Oh, yeah. Have him be in the fucking powerlifter suit?
No. Now you wouldn't even need the powerlifter suit. It'd just be him.
I think it's better if it's him in the powerlifter suit, like all smushed into it, like
maybe,
bulging
maybe.
Out of it. Like, yeah. This was a bad idea.
And so, again, bringing up Gonzo and the chickens, I also suggested that if we were to do this, all of the xenomorphs should be chickens.
Yes, I agree.
Because if you just like the shot where it's like pitch black and you see the shadow run across, and you hear like chickens like clucking with the reverb.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that'd be even better. So would Gonzo be the queen? Because if this is Aliens, oh. The second one is the queen. Gonzo, yeah. With the whole like head chitinous crown thing.
Potentially, see that.
Not Snuffleupagus, though you're close. They were same in size. It was a big dude who just had like a big head and shoulders and like big nose. He looked like an ogre.
You know what? I've got a second monitor. I can just look him up. Big brown Muppet. Sweetums. That was his name.
Sweetums.
Yes. Gentle Giant. Yes.
Character's name is Sweetums. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's like calling him Tiny, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What other movies did we talk about? We did, crap. What the hell's the... Full Metal Jacket. And take a guess which one we all agreed on this. Which one do you think should stay human?
Of course, well, he dies halfway through.
Yep, you guessed it.
No Muppet can do the Stanley Kubrick stare. I'm sorry, has to be Vincent D'Onofrio.
Well, not only that, but just the image of the Muppets finding him after he's killed himself. It's like, aww. It's horrible.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would be the drill sergeant?
Sam the Eagle.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
I will rip off your head and shit down your back.
Although the line about his sister might be rough.
What the fuck is that?
The Joker could be Fozzie. Private Joker.
Eh, yeah. He's got a camera, doesn't he?
He's got a camera? Maybe.
Fozzie? His Joker was a journalist, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wartime journalist.
What other movies came up? Platoon and Armageddon. But I haven't seen either of those, so I can't remember who played who. We did talk about Rambo. First Blood.
They did a Rambo skit.
I thought so. I said the same thing. I was like, didn't somebody do something like that?
It was a little shrimp guy.
Oh, shit.
He's always got cracked out eyes.
Prawn something.
Yeah, I think they did a Rambo, and he Louis? Was Rambo.
Was he was the Rambo? Because I would have suggested that Rambo be the one that stays. Mm-hmm. A bit. Shrimp. I think it's King Louis. I stand
corrected. Apparently we're having a Berenstain Bears moment.
Pepe the King Prawn. That's what it was. Pepe the King Prawn. So let's release this one to the chat since we got a couple of people in chat. Give us some suggestions. What movies do you think would be good for this game?
Yes. One person is human and everything else is Muppets.
Yes. I think we started off by saying what Tim Curry movie should you do that with?
See, I want to say Legend.
That was my first thought, too.
And I would like to entertain someone else being human and everyone else being Muppets, but it's got to be Darkness. He has to be the only one who's human.
He's the only one that can play that
Legend
character.
Legend and Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Okay, is that the name of the game? Like Tim Curry movies, but everyone else is Muppets except Tim Curry?
So I think that's how it started, and then we transitioned to the other version.
Ooh, Congo. He was in Congo, you know. He was Harker Hulkaba.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. They could also do that one. Although for that one, you could probably get away with having a different Muppet play Rocky.
No, she'd be Janet, obviously.
Would she though? Because you could get away with Janice being Janet. Personality wise,
was Janice the singer from the rock band?
Yes. Dr.
Okay,
Keith.
Yeah.
The hippie girl. Mm-hmm. You can get away with having Janice for that.
Maybe. No, she'd be Columbia and Animal would be Magenta.
I was just thinking the two of them, and I'm like, okay, but who would be those? What's the question? RoboKit to the creator.
Robco IT the creator?
Oh yeah, you're right. Robco. No.
Like Ronco? Is that like Ron? Are you Ron? Are you Ronco's evil brother?
Colt. Rob Colt the creator. Could you please watch?
What kind of video is it? Is it educational?
Link it in the chat and we may do so later.
Yes.
And if you join the Discord server, we have a self-promotion channel in the Discord server. You're welcome to use that there.
Yes.
Not as long as it doesn't break terms of service and conditions and things like that. Don't get our server shut down, please. What other movies came up from that conversation?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I don't know. I think it's a good place to stop, anyway, for that idea. Going back to the agenda, was there anything else that we wanted to talk about? I think we both all, we looked at horror news. I didn't really see anything in the horror news that I wanted to comment on.
I mean, still, the latest buzz is people are calling it obsession rooms now, or back session, maybe?
Please no back session. That's that. No,
I know, right? It doesn't sound right. No, obsession and back rooms are apparently the new Barbenheimer.
Yes, so yeah.
That's the thing. It's like they even extended switching obsession to digital streaming
to stay in the theater further. Longer.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're like, no, we're making money on this thing. Right. Keeping them to theaters.
Yeah.
So I may have to go to theaters to watch Obsession. I don't know. It looks really good.
I have not seen either, and I've heard the same. Obsession has been.
I heard from someone who may or may not be in this very chat this evening that Obsession was mid.
I think I recall that message in Discord as well. Yes.
Yes. No big chungus. What you got? In non-spoilery terms, in one or two sentences, why was Obsession not, as people are saying, which is the greatest thing, apparently.
Or don't tell us so that we can go in and, yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah. Backrooms looks good, though. Yeah. Did I see anything else in there? Ton of good stuff coming out. I just can't think of it off the top of my head right now. Great.
How about this, then? What have you fallen asleep to this week?
Rewatching episodes of The Devil in Silver and The Strain. A little late on this one, but I'm finally watching the people vomit snake parasites from their mouth vampire series.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
We it's have. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, it says. Big Chungus apparently sticks to his statement.
Mm. We joked about starting two new segments for this live chat, one being titled Chris Shits on Things, where he lets out his negative side. But then I also joked that we should have a Chris Praises Things, where I then force Chris to say nice things about things. It's a balance.
Some movies. As we're watching Raw again before the live stream tonight, that is a great movie. It's a French-Canadian cannibal movie. I like anything cannibalism.
Of course,
even campy cannibalism. It's just fun to eat people in fictional,
right? Scenarios. Yes. Disclaimer.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yes. Oh, our lawyer has advised us to. Cool. Well, you doing the live stream tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard. I will be live streaming on our Discord server and be drawing my webcomic.
8 p.m. or 9 p.m.?
Sorry, 9 p.m.
8 p.m. It's already 8:22, so you'd be a little late.
Central.
Sure.
Wait, is it?
Yes.
Eastern Mountain Central?
No,
it's Eastern Central Mountain.
Yes.
Then, yeah. 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
40 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
36 minutes from now.
Yes. And for those who find this on YouTube later, just join the Discord server every Sunday night, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Eastern.
Yes. Well, I think that's good enough for now. We, like I said, mm-hmm. I'm not even going to bother unpacking tonight. I'm just going to fucking go to bed.
I do not blame you at all. If you don't join the drawing live stream, you get some fucking rest, dude.
I'll see how it goes. It's only 40 minutes from now, and I'm not that tired yet, so I could probably join for a little while, but I may not last the whole night kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and if you join the Discord, we will see you over there. Otherwise, we will talk to you later. Cheers.
Deuces.